that you sin not. Is it possible for a believer to avoid sin? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is encouraged. Titus talks about good works. Jesus talks about being put on a hill so that our good works point to the Father, that they may glorify him. Hey, welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. And today we're going to answer a question from an email that I got, actually with a person that I'm counseling right now. And there's no problem to have this video made. He's aware of it. Not going to release his name or anything like that. But I think that this answer will help a lot of people's questions. So let's dive right in. So he says, one question I have that can hopefully be addressed in our next conversation is this. If sin breaks fellowship with God, how do we know once our fellowship is restored if we are always going to sin this side of eternity? I've become addicted to certain sinful habits and have prayed much about it, but still have the struggle. Could this be a sign that I've become a reprobate even as a saved person? My problem is this is just very painful. The pain seems to be almost unbearable. Things are just very heavy, and I'm looking for hope. Best regards. All right, good question. We've got good answers. If you have your Bible, let's get right into it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? All right, let's pause there for a moment and kind of break this down. We just covered almost 10 verses. The principle that's being taught here is, this is actually Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5 is quoting from the book of Proverbs, where it says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. God, in the position of your father now, he's no longer your judge. Okay, he's no longer the one that you are accountable to for the payment of sin. That has been satisfied. The wrath of God has been satisfied in his son, Jesus Christ. And so now when God looks at you, it's a father-son relationship. You are now his child, and he, as the righteous father, must discipline you when you are in error. But the discipline is not going to be fun, okay? And this is something that I think we need to brace ourselves for, and it should encourage us to stay away from sin. I don't know how you were raised, but I was raised in a family with corporal punishment, and there were very clear standards set, and it was said, Jesse, if you break the standard, you receive the discipline. Sometimes that discipline was the loss of a privilege, like playing a video game or being able to go outside with my friends or doing an event we were going to do that weekend. It gets canceled because I disobeyed. But if that discipline did not work and I continue to break the standards, well, now we're talking about willful rebellion, and now that has to be chastening. And that's what the word chastening means here. As a matter of fact, you'll see that in verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. So discipline is when there's a consequence that's brought on to the person who's broken the standard. Chastening, though, is when there's a physical discipline. This is where spanking comes in, things like that. And no, I'm not for child abuse, but we have to understand God will do things in our lives that will cause us difficulties. We would even call it pain, heaviness of that conviction. And it's not because he's some mean and wicked God. It's because he knows how serious sin is. It put his son on the cross. It required Jesus shed blood. And therefore, we have to understand the consequences for sin in this life. And there are consequences. If you live a life as an alcoholic, you will not be free of consequences. You're going to have health problems. You're going to have social problems. You're going to run into legal problems at some point. If you live a life of, you know, unfaithfulness or just total sexual promiscuity, there's going to be consequences from that. Sexually transmitted diseases, you can't lock down anything, whatever it may be. You're not going to have this life that the world tells you is going to be so much fun. And if you do those things as a child of God, you certainly are now running the risk, as James chapter 5 says, you're going to be taken out of here. There is a sin which is unto death, and a lot of people think that's a particular sin, but there is a specific sin that you can do, not any one specific, but you just crossed the line where the Lord has now decided it's better for you to be here in glory than it is to continue to mess up your testimony on earth. So these things are not going to be fun. And I believe wholeheartedly that's why you feel this heaviness, okay? The struggle with sin is exactly that. It is a struggle. However, I think you're going to be able to overcome this sin, of course, through the power of the Holy Spirit, but also by properly recognizing the process of confession. And let's take a look at that now. Don't forget, if this is your first time here, welcome. If you've been here before, welcome back. Make sure to like, comment, and share this video. This helps get Bible Line out to brand new people all over YouTube. It makes the algorithm really happy. So make sure that you do that. Also, hit that subscribe button and the little notification bell next to it. When you hit that notification bell, you'll probably get three options. I think it says all, personalized, and then none. Make sure that you click all. Why is that? Well, we have really ramped up the content that we're putting out there. We're doing two videos like this a week. We're doing three live streams. I think actually even four if we do our Sunday school as well. And we're also doing posts in the community tab. We do little surveys there. We ask questions, look for your feedback. And you can get all of those notifications by selecting all notifications so you don't miss anything. And if you have a Bible question, send it to us. Questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. We'll do our best to get you a written answer and maybe even make a video like we are today. Let's get back to today's answer. So the process of confession is understanding that word confession. It means to come to an agreement. I'm not going to butcher the Greek word there, but it does mean to come to an agreement. So let's look at that here in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, some people want to say that this means you have to routinely confess to have the ultimate forgiveness for sins, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the sanctification process. We're talking about walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. As we walk in our flesh, it causes a disruption in our fellowship with the Lord. Look at the process here in 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So now we lie by saying, oh, I'm walking in the light, but I'm really walking in my flesh. I'm living in sin. Okay, you're lying. Now verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, meaning you just rationalize it away. Well, it's not sin. It's not bad. Now you're deceiving yourself. And the truth is not in you. Then you get to 1 John 1:10, which is the real serious thing. If we say we have not sinned, if we're now saying what I have done is not sin at all, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, all these things are not, they're not proof texts to see if you're saved. This is to see, are you in fellowship with God, even though you say that you are? And your question about if sin breaks fellowship with God, how do we know once our fellowship is restored if we are always going to sin this side of eternity? This is the beauty of the new nature. The new nature is born of God. It cannot sin because his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin as a result of that. 1 John 3:9 says that. But when does the confession happen? Immediately upon the moment of asking. God's not waiting to see if you really got it. Now, he'll be able to identify if you're just kind of ritualistically confessing or not, because he's going to have to continue to discipline you. But the forgiveness is available right away. Look what it says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He will. That word faithful is consistent. He is consistent and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now look in chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Is it possible for a believer to avoid sin? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is encouraged. Titus talks about good works. Jesus talks about being put on a hill so that our good works point to the Father, that they may glorify him. But we are going to sin. And John knew that. Look what he says. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. So our sins have been covered. So the question, when do we know we're forgiven? You're forgiven right there in that moment that you ask to confess. And then you walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's not a thing where it's like one or the other. You're either walking in the spirit or you're walking in the flesh. And I would be careful trying to get into the weeds of things, right? Trying to get so hyper-focused on, like, if I choose to go to McDonald's instead of Wendy's, is that flesh or spirit? That's, you're bounding yourself. You're binding yourself. Trust the Lord. Do what he says. I always talk to people about the four talks. Do these four things, and I think it'll really help you. Number one, God talks to me. That's through Bible study. Number two, I talk to God. That's through consistent prayer. Number three, I talk with like-minded believers. That's fellowship. I believe that's a part of the local church function, getting together, encouraging one another. And number four, I talk to the lost. You work on those things, and I think everything else will fall into place. But the best way that you can know that you're walking in the Spirit is you love one another. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 13. Owe no man anything but to love one another. You love the people in the body of Christ, and you love the lost by getting them the gospel. So I pray that gives you an answer to your question. Make sure that you write to us questions at BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our very, very best to get you an answer. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.